Hello and welcome to Master Your Coaching Biz, a podcast for rising coaches and entrepreneurs who want to design the life of their dreams and make a massive impact on the world while building an inspired, successful, and profitable business. I'm your host, Cheryl Thacker, Master Board Certified Coach, Trainer, ICF Mentor Coach, International Speaker, and founder of Successful Coaches Enterprise. I believe that every coach has a unique gift to present to the world, and I'm humbled that I've had the opportunity to work with hundreds of coaches and entrepreneurs on their journey to mastering their business. Join me each week as we explore all things coaching to master your business with tools, techniques, and strategies to create and market your products, get visible, make an impact, and grow your business. Listen in on interviews with leading coaches and entrepreneurs sharing their stories and best tips to teach, inspire, and empower you. Observe coaching sessions, participate in Q&A, and learn how to master your mindset to enhance your coaching skills. Are you ready to build the life and business of your dreams while doing what you love? Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode. And we have an awesome guest with us today. We have Krista Martin, and she is the president and founder of Make Your Mark. And I think we're going to have a really good conversation today. So make sure you get out your notebooks and your pens, or if you're just listening on the fly, make notes on your phone. So welcome, Krista. So excited you're here with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about you.
I feel like it's, you know, really where I love helping our clients, which are coaches, is to build their business through speaking. And so going back, I know you and I were having a little bit of a conversation about really going through coach training school and what that's like. And for me, I came out of coach training school, even with my MBA in marketing, even with, you know, having been in sales, and I still felt like it was just me and the crickets, you know, when I was first starting. And I know you understand that. And so having to go through all those frustrating levels of just trying to figure out how to grow your coaching business really made it to me very, very clear where I wanted to serve people, because I felt like I wanted someone to help me, but I couldn't find the right, you know, recipe or plan for speaking to grow my business. And so that's where, you know, it's really been part of our journey. It's leaving my corporate job. I'll share, I used to sell drugs. They were legal drugs. So that. And also we had a margarita machine, so it was drugs and alcohol. So fun kind of conversations there. But then really stepping into the coaching side of it, you know, I got my business up to about $40,000 as a side business while I was selling drugs. And my company decided to downsize, of course, before I had it planned. You know, I had the June on my dry erase board. And I think the universe misread that and thought I said January. And the J's, you know, and so anyways, I was released from my job and really focused on one core marketing strategy, which was speaking. And that year, the business grew from 40 to 220, and it was myself and an assistant. And then we crossed a $500,000 mark, still leveraging speaking in the way we teach it, and crossed $1 million mark using it in a new way. I guess it was 2 years ago for the very first time. So it's really been this, passion and finding what works and then just doing it over and over again in different ways. That's been a really huge fun adventure.
Yeah. Awesome. And I know exactly what you're saying. And I talk about this a lot. I struggled the first, you know, 2.5, 2 to 3 years. And I come from a business marketing background, business sales and marketing, and 25 years. I was able to do it, you know, I was able to quit the corporate and do the business, but it was a struggle from day one. It was like a struggle, which bills, do they all get paid? Like, or does this one get paid or that one get paid? It was a real struggle. So I understand that.
Yes. It was a lot of touch and go at times. Like, can I really do this? Will it really happen? And I love seeing you're successful and so many other coaches, you know, building that as well.
Yeah. So tell us about the speaking to fill your pipeline. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, it's to me one of the best and fastest ways to grow your coaching business, because it allows you to totally be in control of when you're speaking, for one, you know, and it also positions you as an authority. And the one of my total favorite parts about it is it doesn't require any algorithms or fancy shenanigans. You just go see people live, you know, or you can do it virtually, and you get to share your message, create an impact. And then when you've really mapped out your talk the right way, you not only educate your audience, but you activate them and get them into action as well. So it's, you know, if you don't want to cold DM people, it's people you've never met, it's a great strategy that I highly recommend.
Okay. So if, you know, a new coach comes out of training, they've just gotten certified and they're looking to do something like that, what do you feel like are the first steps that they have to look at?
Oh, gosh. For me, when I first started, and I imagine most coaches are in a similar boat too, and you might have been as well, is I didn't have my own audience to begin with. You know, I had people I was connected to. I had a great network, but I thought, okay, that speaking thing, I have to have people. You know, that's kind of an important element to have in the equation. And so where I recommend people to start is looking for and really leveraging other people's audiences. So looking at who else is gathering, you know, for example, for you and myself, you know, what groups are gathering coaches? You know, it could be maybe somebody, you know, I've had clients who have gone to actually yoga studios because their person is always going to, you know, do that type of exercise. But where people get stuck very often is their ego tells them you have to build your own audience. And it's like, no, but there's all these great people gathering, you know, gathering coaches, for example. So look at associations, look at, you know, people you might consider to be, well, I wouldn't say competition, but they're serving your ideal client just in a different way. For example, one of my clients was a divorce coach, and she partnered with real estate agents, also with attorneys, you know, people of CPAs, because they were all dealing with people going through a divorce. So she could offer value to them in a very different way. And then you also, another reason it's so great to borrow audiences is you're really leveraging that trust as well. You know, so for this client of mine, for example, when she was in front of the attorney's clients and being able to offer value, they automatically trusted her more because she was someone that was endorsed, you know, in a way through their attorney. So I would say go out and find who's already gathering your ideal person. And the main thing is that you create a win-win-win, meaning it's immense value for their audience, immense value for the person hearing it, the actual audience. And then it's a win for you because you're getting to share your expertise and build your visibility. And I believe too, that we're all really, like, we're here to work with, you know, if you and I, for example, shared our message, we would attract different people out of that same group. And so really seeing the value in that, it's not stealing someone's clients as much as just sharing your message and the right people raise their hand.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. It's having an abundance mindset versus a fixed or what do you call it? Like opposite of abundance.
Scarcity. Yes.
Scarcity. That's it. Scarcity mindset, because there is enough business, right? And because we all have different concentrations, like we're both business coaches, but you focus in on the speaking and I focus in on like those real fundamentals, like, you know, getting your offer together and, you know, knowing who your ideal client is. So we have different focuses and we have different personalities. We have different systems and different programs, right? They're going to resonate with a certain person. And that's what I think all coaches have to realize, as well as realizing that, you know, niching down within your own market and then if somebody else's market or audience is important, because that's what it does, is it helps you to build these relationships with other people.
Yes. And it makes it, I like it too, as much as we can keep things simple. And that's one of my favorite marketing principles, keep it simple or as simple as possible. And, you know, when you're really clear, like to your point on who your ideal person is, you know where to go to find them. For example, if someone says, well, Krista, I don't know who's gathering my ideal client, they're probably not very clear. Mm-hmm. Person is, because when you say, you know, it's a single mom, this age, you know, doing this or that, you could quickly identify usually some places that exact person is hanging out versus being more broad. And then it feels like, you know, just walking down the street and you're like, hey, you look screwed up.
You need that. You could benefit from coaching. All right. So, okay. So somebody says, all right, I'm going to build these alliances and I'm going to speak to these audiences. And I'm going to fill my program by speaking. What is the main gist of that? How do they approach that?
And this is one of the most awesome questions and also $1 million question. And what I mean by that is there are multiple layers and steps in it. And usually where people get stuck you know, I found an association that was gathering coaches when I first started out. And one thing I'm really good at too is, you know, making my plan and then following my plan. And so it started with, okay, getting clear, who do I want to be in front of? You know, what do I want? What kind of speaking engagement? Do I want a webinar? Do I want a in-person? Do I want a sponsorship? There's a million different ways to do it. So you get clear on that. The second step is finding who's already gathering them. So we actually make a leads list and look up, you know, and brainstorm as a group. And I mean, I've jumped on calls with clients before too, and we're like mapping out, you know, they feel stuck. And then we say, okay, let's look. And one of my current clients, we very quickly found on a call two associations where he could apply to speak. Then one of them he's doing a monthly webinar for. The other association he's in front of is he's done a couple webinars for and then was asked to be their keynote speaker. And he's now their leadership go-to guy, you know, so it's finding your people. And then having, I always come up with what I call it a message tree. So it's a reach out plan, because most of the time, at least my experience has been with the different groups, it's either someone who's not getting paid to help me get on their, you know, speaker list or speak at their event. They're either not paid or it's their business. And so making sure I'm following up, you know, and have a process for that versus what the heck, I emailed Krista one time and then magic didn't happen. You know, so yeah. No drive-by marketing. And then that follow-up and making sure, of course, too, that our talk is aligned in a way and set up in a way and structured intentionally versus the, and I say this very lovingly, but I know most coaches that I see speak do the kind of show up and throw up approach, which is here's everything I ever learned about this topic and I'm going to give it to you. And they're, it's such a disservice to their audience and yeah. It comes from a place of love, but it's not done with an intentional framework.
Yeah. So would you say that that's the biggest common mistake?
I think it is definitely one of them is they kind of do the spaghetti approach, which, you know, that's not always great for business. That, and then the other one would be that they do what I call education language versus activation language. So this is, again, the coach who is so passionate about the thing they learned or their own breakthrough they got in coach training school, or they learned this thing going through their divorce, you know, as they're a divorce coach now. And we get, and I'm saying this because I made all these mistakes too, but so passionate about the content that we forget about really activating them through, you know, really enrolling them through stories. And we spend tons of time working with clients on this because it's so easy to get stuck in the education language that's four steps to, you know, name your ideal client. Like, you know, I'm sure you've got different things you teach people. But in that speaking setting, we also want them to feel the marketing tension of not having all the answers, because if they feel like they have all the answers, they don't take action. And I'm not saying we set people up to feel crappy. I don't mean that at all, but enough to say, oh, there's a gap between where I am. And she's really activated me to see in 6 months, if I don't do something different, I'm going to be in the same place. I need to apply for the call, go to the workshop, you know, get the free resource, whatever that step may be.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. I agree with that. So when you talk about activating, what you said, storytelling, what else is part of that activating?
It is, it's storytelling, it's bringing in the emotion. It might be, you know, for example, me, Krista, sharing a story about my own experience. It could be I'm talking about a client that had a big win, because the cool thing is that when we talk about this client who had a big win, so maybe I'm saying the four steps, I'm making this up too, you know, identify your ideal client. Then I don't want to just tell those four steps. I want to talk about a client in particular who did step one. And what did it look like for him or her? What were their results? What were their fears? And really bringing that person in to and enrolling them through the story versus having it be all about, here's step one, do it, you know, these kind of more pragmatic. And I always like do my shoulders weird when I'm in education land. So you can see me doing that. But it's really bringing that in and then helping them to really feel the gap that exists between where they are now currently and how uncomfortable they'll be in 6 months or 12 months if they're in the same spot, because you're my person, our ideal client's person isn't okay with being in the same place in 6 months. You know, if they are, that's wonderful, but we want to say thank you, but don't sign up for the workshop, you know, or don't take this next step, because we want people that are hungry to be, you know, have the improved relationship, financial situation, however it is they help clients, but bringing that in a way and also making sure that we're teaching that, and I would say this, and it feels like we're being sneaky, but it's really to the benefit of the person hearing it is we teach the what and the why it's important. And then maybe a teensy, teensy bit of the how, but most coaches go like, they go into the weeds of the how. Mm-hmm. And so it's helping them like realizing our ideal clients at a different place. And so just hearing the four steps, for example, is going to be tremendous value. They don't need to know the 18 ways to accomplish that because then they feel overloaded. They feel like they have everything they need. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, it's not just the information. You and I know this, but it's about the implementation and integration that they get to do with their coach when they're working together. So making sure, usually it's pulling back at least a good chunk of the content that people are delivering. Is that more clear? I know I could geek out on activation content for weeks and I don't
want to. I mean, it's just, I think it's the same thing like when you're creating a program, like you have to make sure, which I help a lot of coaches with, where, you know, we want to give all this value, we want to give all this information, but the problem is that we can overwhelm them. They're done your program, they haven't implemented anything. And so then that falls back on you saying, oh, well, your program, you know, wasn't good or your whatever wasn't good. When really it was too much and the client wasn't able to take action. It sounds like it's pretty much the same thing.
Yes, it's very, very similar to that. And it's also, I mentioned our ego earlier too. And I noticed for me, you know, I was building up some of my first couple of programs and I was like, well, I need to teach them this about sales and that about sales. And I'm like, they don't need that. I think it's cool because I love sales, you know, or geeking out, but they don't need that for where they are. So I had to realize it was my wanting to, an underlying story I had about, I had to create this value to be able to have the investment level be, so I needed 28 billion modules. And then I said, no, they don't need that stage. So we're pulling it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did the same thing. I think we all do it in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to throw something out. And I like to say a crappy first draft. And then we say, okay, now we get to iterate, you know, or figure out what that looks like next.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that sounds good. Now, how about you talk about like the objections are a good thing.
Oh, yes. Yes. And this is probably the sales coming in too. And I remember learning this the first time. I don't even know what it was, but really looking at objections as a buying signal. And usually what I've experienced, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this too, that when someone's saying, oh, it's too expensive, there's not enough time, it's blah, you know, it's not the perfect whatever, it's usually that they're actually interested in working with me or with you, you know, whatever the conversation is, except their ego's jumping up and down saying, wait, this is scary. You're going to do something new. I've got to try to convince you. So they're actually opening up the door to coach them, you know, if in that moment, to just ask them different questions. And I believe when people have objections, most of the time they want you to help them overcome them because whatever that objection is has likely kept them stuck in many areas of their life for a very long time. So, you know, just asking questions, which is what we do as coaches anyways, and saying, you know, just pointing things out and, you know, pointing out inconsistencies when you say this and they say this. And it's actually been really empowering when clients see that it is a gift. And usually it's not really about the money. It's not really about the time or the spouse. It's that fear that they have that won't work for them, or, you know, they can't, you know, create the same results or different things like that. So getting that ability to dance with those is really important and incredibly valuable. And it's so fun to see people get through some of that too and their relief.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree. I think it's gives you insight into, you know, whatever it is that's holding them back. And you're able to then start coaching around that fear or obstacle.
Yeah, 100%. And it helps them to see, like, when they stand, when, you know, you are or anybody's having the conversation and the person brings up the objection, that you can go to places most people wouldn't go just by asking a few questions. Mm-hmm. Them see what they likely haven't even seen about themselves, too.
Yeah. Power of coaching.
It is. And it's like, we get to do it in sales. We get to do it when we're working with people. It's everywhere. Tried to my husband. He doesn't appreciate that. So he's told me to stop. And I'm kidding about that when I just, but you know, just your clients is probably the best approach.
To the Awesome. Well, we're coming to the end of our time. What would be a kind of a quick tip that you would have for somebody that wants to use speaking to fill their, say, fill their events, like their two, three, 5-day events?
I would say to look for, you know, those strategic partners that we talked about, other people who would benefit from getting in front of your audience, you would benefit from getting in front of theirs. And then to look for associations, look for groups, look for conferences targeted at them, at those people, and then go there and offer more value than you think you should. You know, just coming from that abundant place and being visible. And then also one of the coolest things I've learned is smaller groups can be even more intimate and even more profitable than, you know, sometimes we'll have this story that we need to speak in front of 60,000 people. But if you get in front of 6 people, you know, I've had webinars that I've done for groups and it was a very small group. So it's stepping into and being okay with being a big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. And the other way around, it just creates huge value, huge wins, and fast momentum.
Yeah, awesome. All right. So you have a free gift for our audience?
Yes. And one of my things, I know coaches get into coaching to do math, and I'm about that too. But it's speaking profit model. So it really takes the questions out of like, how do I monetize speaking? And I give some examples of different coaches that have leveraged speaking and how many people were in the room, how many sales conversations resulted, and then how much income they actually brought in. So you see quickly, you know, depending on how your programs are, the investment levels, you could have, I mean, very easily a 6-figure business if that's what someone's goal is, you know, by doing 1 or 2 small speaking engagements each month.
Awesome. All right. So guys, that link will be in the show notes. So go ahead and visit the website and get that report. And then we are done for today. I'm trying to think if there's anything last minute here, but thank you so much for being here, Krista. And guys, thank you so much for listening in, and I will see you on the next episode of Master Your Coaching Biz, the podcast. Thank you so much for listening in today. I'm so glad we got to spend this time together. If you love today's show, please consider leaving me a review on the Apple Podcast app so other coaches can find the podcast. For more information about me, visit successfulcoaches.com. For daily inspiration and affirmations, follow me on Instagram at Coach Cheryl Thacker. Be sure to send me a DM so I can say hello. Until next time, to your success.